Welcome to the Dean Blundell Show podcast, brought to you by our friends at Charmin's Proper Pies, reinventing pie culture. Charmin'sProper.ca is a meat pie subscription company run by the voice of soccer in Canada, the very British, James Charmin. Charmin's Proper Pies makes everything from balti, chicken balti, to chickpea, to veggie, to meat pie, to steak and cheese, the traditional chicken pot pie, and they come ready to go in your microwave. Not microwave, I meant oven. It's an oven, right? Put them in the oven. Yep, James is saying the oven. So you put them in the oven, give them an egg wash in there for an hour, 400 degrees. You pull it out, you eat it. During a time like this, what better way to live and eat than Charmin's Proper Pies? Meat pies delivered to your home. There's a subscription service. You can order once a week, twice a week, three times a week, once a month. Doesn't matter. Go to charminsproper.ca. Charmin's Proper Pies. Reinventing pie culture. Thanks to our friends at Envision Digital Solutions. Envision Digital Solutions, your front-end and back-end marketing hub. End-to-end digital marketing solutions and web solutions designed for you. Looking to increase leads, maximize profits, design your website, sell online, build an app. View their work at envision.co, little envision.co, Envision Digital Solutions. We use them, so should you. And thanks to our friends at Ed's Fine Imports, edsfineimports.com. Go to Ed's Fine Imports now. 10% of everything you buy online, in-store, online, site-wide, goes to Ronald McDonald House Charities. 10% of everything. They've got a huge online sale right now. So go and check it out, edsfineimports.com. They're closed, trying to keep everybody safe. However, you can order his Gitch online, G-I-T-C-H, his own branded underwear. Everybody needs Gitch now. I'm starting to run out, so I'm going to order some today. Edsfineimports.com.
You're listening to the Dean Blundell Show.
Why buy local? When you shop with local businesses, you're spending your money on more than just the item you're buying. You're adding a building block to your neighborhood.
It's a great feeling when we do good with the money we spend.
Good things grow Ontario.
Hi, welcome to the Dean Blundell Show podcast. My name is Dean. It is the hashtag support local podcast. The least we could do in our effort to try and bring some light to some dark business COVID corners. Ryan Smolkin, as always, the president, CEO, franchisee, franchisor, three-time scuba diver. Ryan Smolkin joins us on the phone. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Fantastic, man. Fantastic. Yeah. A beautiful day. It's going awesome. And we got a couple of the best dudes that are out there. I've been seeing these guys around the world. And if you don't know Canadian Beaver Tails, the infamous Beaver Tails, these are the brothers behind it. You got Pino and Anthony D'Oya. The brothers, the twin brothers, are on the line with us right now.
Let's hear it.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Hey, guys, I bet you didn't think you'd get such a huge introduction from Ryan sitting at home in his basement in his underwear.
I got a hat on, too.
Pino and Anthony D'Oya, the owners of Beaver Tails, the franchise Beaver Tails. Thanks for doing this, guys. Really appreciate it. And I know I mentioned this off the air, but I have a bone to pick with both of you for the addictive properties you put in your treats. All of my kids are addicted to Beaver Tails. Thank you very much. We can't drive
We've
by a Beaver Tails shop. Yeah, you have. Everywhere we go, it's like, oh, that's a Beaver Tails, stop. Yeah, so thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So tell me, how is business? What's going on now? How has COVID affected the Beaver Tails franchise, Pino and Anthony, if you could start?
What is going on, man? Every day is a new one. We get the daily reports and wonder which way it's going. A couple of stores are showing resilience and in line or even beating last year just randomly because of where they fall. But I don't know, Tony, I think 2 weeks ago the big discussion in our office was which stores are not open yet and are they going to reopen, when are they going to reopen? Now we're pretty much fully reopened, or, you know, 90% plus, but we're not capturing last year's sales. Obviously nobody is. Whether it's because the tourist areas we're in just aren't getting the traffic or the traction, or because the stores are, like everybody else, languishing on a lower sales level. But Tony's more the numbers guy. I don't know. You want to put flavor into that?
Yeah, we keep taking a serious look because obviously direction is so important at this time. it's already hard to digest what's hit us. We're trying to plan for the future. So in delving into the numbers, as Pino mentioned, there are some stores who are not open. They're in amusement parks or about to open for the most part. But by the time they do, I don't know if you guys caught some of this morning's numbers, but there's pockets of the country that seem to be having a bit of a resurgence. So we're always dealing with the push, start, push, stop, go, makes it somewhat complicated. But we're looking for, the last month was actually good. June we were probably in the 50% compared to the previous year, but April and March, were much tougher months. When it first started, back in late March, early April, we had no stores operating. Mm-hmm. A lot of our stores are in areas that were just totally shut down. So that's the pivot that's taking place. We're adjusting, and for the most part, our franchisees are a resilient bunch. They're holding steady, and they're showing some good numbers, and they're doing the best they can under the circumstances.
How many franchisees do you guys have, Tony? How many to date right now?
So we kind of break that up into two categories. We have what Ryan would know. He's a franchisor, pure franchises. So these are stores where there's an actual franchise agreement, typical street corner stores. And then we have things like amusement parks, which are more licensed deals. So believe it or not, we have 160 stores across Canada and United States.
Wow.
We've grown the network quite a bit. And about a third of that would be true, what we call storefront, on the corner stores, mm-hmm. real brick and mortar. Then we have a really large mobile component, and we have a lot of licensee partners like ski hills and amusement parks.
These are rock and roll, man. And roll.
Oh, it's
same thing as like sports and entertainment. You have, I just tried to make it sound cool with all the mobile, and that's the amusement parks.
Maybe we should use your words.
What's that?
Maybe we should use your words, sports and entertainment, as well.
Sorry, you just got to twist it. It makes it sound good. But the other one that I hit is the universities, right? And that's we were talking before. These guys aren't getting on the universities. Tell me it's not the ultimate university food, though. Got to get them on the campuses. But yeah, so it's the same breakdown I've been giving you. That's why we're so similar. I love these guys. We're about a 1/3, 2/3 split from the pure franchise, the brick and mortar, to the sports and entertainment, or like in their case, the amusement cards and trailers that they have. So very similar, similar resilience. And that's what I love when they get excited about saying, last month was great. We were only down 50%. That sounds like me. We're up to 60% down. That's a great one. A great one.
Yeah. But right, the crazy part there is, I mean, when you hear our brothers and sisters on the full service and the interior seating, 50% is sounding awesome for those poor guys. So that sports and leisure, whatever we want to call that weirdness, has helped us all be more resilient through this, unintentionally, but we'll take it.
Mm-hmm. And the smaller footprints like you guys have, like myself, it's just small footprints contained, can be solo operations. Yeah, I know, I cringe. I get so scared in the gut rot when I think of those big boys too. Yeah, I totally hear you.
You're talking about like restaurants, steakhouses, places where you got to go in and eat that aren't as capable or nimble, and they can't deliver. You know, their business wasn't based on delivery. It was based on a dining experience. Someone told me the other day that it could be up to 60 or 70% of those businesses by the time September, October rolls around, won't even be existent anymore. Just because.
We had our morning huddle this morning, and here at the office, one of the gentlemen passed by in his neighborhood. He couldn't recognize it. There's already damage. And here internally, we feel that 2020 is sustainable. 2021 is where the big question marks lie. That doesn't mean we're not going to get any scars out of 2020. Of course, everyone's feeling it. But 2021, we think, might be even scarier. So it's going to be a long ride.
And why is that? Why is that? Can you justify that for me?
Well, especially in our domain, we're really summer heavy. Mm-hmm. So a lot of our sales take place in the summer. A lot of our winter sales are placed in places like the canal in Ottawa. Mm-hmm. There's a good chance that might not even happen this year. So from our perspective, it's okay, the pickings are slim now. They're probably going to be slimmer in the wintertime. And I think that holds true for the whole industry. With the climate we have right now, people are enjoying picnics, they're enjoying terraces, all kinds of wonderful things, but that's going to shut down. Mm-hmm. So when you lose that ability, the focus is going to go heavily on takeout. People are still scared to be eating, even with the social distancing, they're still scared to be eating at the restaurant itself. Mm-hmm. So winter will be tougher.
Mm. And, yeah. Feeding, yeah. I told you.
I know. And I am too. You know, I think that's something that's in the back of a lot of people's minds is that, you know, the falsehood that at some point this is just going to dead stop. You know what I mean? And we're going to be mm-hmm. able to just kind of pick up with our lives. But, you know, as long as we don't have a vaccine, there's not going to be such a thing as a dead stop. Having said that, in Canada, they've done just an absolutely incredible job of mitigating the damage of COVID-19. And we've stayed the course and we've eaten the prison gruel of tough economic times. You do have some shops in the United States, though, that are with amusement parks. Not to make, you know, tie this to your last name, DeYoya, but it has been a bit of a yo-yo experience in the United States, is it not? Where it's like, okay, we're open, okay, we're closed, okay, we're open, okay, we're closed. Which model do you prefer?
Definitely the Canadian. And again, the mitigation here, we can all be proud as Canadians. This is hardly the game you want to win, but if you have to play this game, happy that we're winning it. Mm-hmm. The only store we've lost of our 160 so far, it may come back, but it is in fact an amusement park in the U.S. Where again, we don't, not that we're trying to feel less good or less bad, but it's not us, it's the whole park that slid down. But if the park reopens, we'll reopen, but if the park doesn't reopen, well, we're tied to them. So 100% we'd rather be on this side.
Mm-hmm. And aside from the government, aside from the government measures, you also have the government regulations. So besides the safety net that we're offered here, which is a bit weaker in the States, at least in Canada, when the government says, well, you know what, it's time to reopen, there was some cautious thinking. In the States, we're seeing businesses and government saying we're good to reopen. And then the employees are signing petitions saying, we don't think we're good to reopen. We want to stay home. Mm. So there's a hodgepodge there taking place, which is really complicating even further. Mm.
Yeah, that's and you know what? It's not just in the United States where people are doing that. I think people in Canada feel the same way too, right? And that goes to the employee part of this. You know, the wage program and the subsidy programs that they've put in place for businesses here in Canada have been great. The CERB has been great. I think people are going to have a hard time getting off the CERB when they realize they actually have to go back to work and to work for the same money that they're getting. Have you guys found, now that you're reopening some spots, that guys and girls are not as willing to come back to work? Has the rehiring process been more difficult?
Absolutely. Without mentioning a name, I know there's one amusement park in Canada that I think had 60 or 70% of their supervisory staff was all student-type individuals and didn't come back. Either they chose not to or they were too comfortable on the package and they didn't come back. So it's tough, but then again, a whole bunch of the world is sitting at 50% or lower. It's a good thing they're not coming back because there wouldn't be as much work for all of them anyway. So it's odd how randomly it all seems to be in homeostasis at this point. Mm. But come September, what a show that's going to be. People off the program, they're going to want to come back. Sales decline because fall usually a little bit quieter anyways.
I think double the rent for a lot of people if they deferred.
If they deferred it, right. That's going to be a recipe for people just saying, thanks for having deferred. I took a bit of money off the table during the summer, but I'm done now. Mm-hmm. So I agree, Ryan and I, we were talking about that before as well. And going into fall, I think the real massacre is about to start there.
Hmm. Yeah, it certainly seems to be the consensus, right? Because the majority of those programs end in and around the first month or two of the fall. Pino and Anthony DeYoya, they're the owners and operators of Beaver Tails franchises. Do you guys eat that stuff every day?
We do.
Other day.
That's in the office. Yeah, Tuesdays and Thursdays are taste test days.
Tuesdays and Thursdays?
Yes, sir. That's when you want to visit the office.
Have you guys like see, now this is the part that I'm interested in too, is not only the taste testing, but the wacky flavors and things that people want to put on their beaver tails, like ranch dressing or sausage. Like, do you keep it all candy, or have you guys do you have some new plans for some more beaver tail inventions in the next little bit?
We've done, well, you know, to homage of Ryan's great product. The poo tail was a Huffington Post invention.
Yeah,
it was
the poo tail.
Literally an April Fool's joke. And now when we cannot get off the menu, it's not like a huge seller, but there's some diehards that's the real Canadian thing, and we keep it. But other than that weird anomaly, it is it's sweet. We're known as sweets, and every time we deviate, the clients vote just by selection, and it's the sweets are the big ones.
What's your favorite?
I'm chocolate Reese's Pieces or chocolate banana.
I'm drunk with banana, so twins for sure.
Just a straight up Hazel Amour. Just a straight up chocolate.
I'm the one that I'm the guy that sits there and goes, put a few more Smarties on there. No, just another scoop. One more scoop.
One of those guys.
One of those. Yeah,
yeah. I destroy me and my kids destroy your margins at every beaver tail store we go to.
That's payback for making them addicted.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you very much. So talk about what things are going to look like now for beaver tails. And I know Ryan and I have spent hours talking about this with other people. You know, the inception of delivery, different way of getting your product in people's hands, an easier way of getting your product in people's hands, maybe doing some store-bought stuff. I mean, what is it that Beaver Tails does to be able to pivot, and how are you guys looking at, you know, turning to sustainable business, knowing the psychology of economy that we're getting ready to head into in the fall?
So we were always lucky in that a lot of our stores never really had seating, and they were always seen as takeout to begin with. Mm-hmm. So when you're going to the majority of our stores, you're approaching a window, you're placing your order, the food's being given to you, and this is all pre-COVID, safe environment, and thankfully on the operational side, it's not a huge pivot. Now, where we're focusing a lot of our energies, we signed contracts with our official POS supplier, who is now offering online ordering. So I get to walk up to a store, use my cell phone to place the order, pay for it through my cell phone, never have to interact at all. And all I'm doing is picking up the bag of finished product, or in our case, the wax wrap with the tail in it. Mm-hmm. And we keep hearing in our seminars in the industry that people right now are just not scared, and there's very little risk associated with doing takeout. So that's something that I think not enough people talk about.
Is that an app or something? Sorry, Anthony. Is that an app or something that you can get, or how do you, like, if you want to order a beaver tail mobily through your POS service, how do you do that?
I know different chains experiment with different ways. In our particular case, it's not an app. It's an embedded link. We could take that link and we can put it in our Facebook page. We can put it on our website. We can put that wherever. And you would just click on that link, and now you're actually transacting in the POS system of that location.
Wow.
So we're just in the middle of rolling that out. That's something that our POS supplier rushed to market because of the demand. And I think we're going to see more and more of that. And that's a game changer, obviously.
Oh, for sure it is. Where you can just, you know, you walk down the street, you see a beaver tail shop, and you go, yeah, let's do this. And you send in your order, you walk down, grab a coffee, then you load in, you get your stuff, and you walk out. I you know, it's funny because I took my, I know this is very different, but I took my dog to get his haircut. And traditionally, when you go take your dog in to get a haircut, you walk in, you say hi, you pet the pooch, you give him to, but like the routine there was hilarious. It was knock on the door, stand back 6 feet, they come out. You attach your dog to this post. They come out, grab the dog's leash, go back inside. Then they leave the method of payment outside on the table. You know, it's piecemeal. So it's awesome that you've got technology on your side that enables you to be able to do this.
Well, you mentioned your dog. I had the same experience on myself as I went to get my haircut last week. So, yeah, this is something that we're all getting used to.
You went to a dog groomer adjusting. To get your hair cut?
it's a lot cheaper than the CFO.
I'm picturing you as a poodle right now.
Yeah, yeah. With a leash and a collar attached to a post on a table, just saying, take a little off the top. Sorry. So you went and got your man haircut, yes?
That's right. Yeah. And it's, you know, we're adjusting. There's no more. I need an appointment. I just used to walk in. Now you need an appointment. You need to, things are changing, and it is adjustment. Look, I think, I hope we'll all look back and say, well, that wasn't such a big deal. I mean, in the big scheme of things, these are not huge sacrifices we're making, but it's just a matter of getting used to new ways of doing things.
New things for doing things with you guys. How's the delivery? You guys had told me you hadn't done really much in the way of delivery before, but now are you doing it through the third-party programs?
We are now, Ryan, but there too, it's a weird anomaly of where we come from. So who's going to do an Uber delivery out of an amusement park? Although, like we said, people are ordering popcorn from the local cinema. So
exactly.
Yeah. Maybe that is. But I'm not sure Wonderland is equipped to do a beaver tail out the front gates yet. But never say
what
never.
What about somewhere like Ottawa? They're down in Ottawa in the market.
Yeah, so that's the brick and mortar full shops that Anthony referred to, the roughly third that are that, are doing delivery. Some of our guys are doing crazy numbers, more than we ever thought we'd do, like 20% plus on take-home beaver tails. And I think for us, that was happening a bit before COVID too. We had that on the radar. And we started to realize that you know, cocooning was big in the 80s, and what goes around comes around. I think cocooning was back with the millennials and now really just catapulted forward with COVID. So I think to a large degree, our clients were already saying, we want to consume this at home. And we've opened a number of stores in the last 2 or 3 years that are increasingly not in amusement areas. So I think that trend is just going to continue. Same small footprint Anthony spoke about before. Same kind of, you know, pickups. It's not quite as large as a Subway, smaller footprint. And Uber for sure, and DoorDash is part of the new equation. Now, there too, the whole industry, I mean, I think even the mainstream media has picked up on this extensively. The point system that they're charging is not sustainable.
That's, I think, ridiculous, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing that we're all caught with COVID and we want the clients, and the clients really need the service, so it's the perfect storm, but 25 or 30 points is completely unsustainable. But now a couple of governments are threatening to cap that, and there's consolidation happening in the industry that I think is a precursor to a limited percentage draw. But we got to see that come into a 15 to 20% range before it really becomes more widespread.
And like you said, some of your places are overall maybe 50% down in sales. And if only 20% of that's delivery, you know, it's a good balance versus, yeah, I could tell you I'm up 20% in sales, which I'm not overall, but even if I am breaking even, but 90%, I was up to 90% of mine was delivery back in March, April. Now it's more of a 60% delivery. It doesn't matter how much volume you're doing if the model doesn't work, and that's what's having trouble getting through to them. And when you have that ability to, you know, in the past, limit or balance it out with the walk-in traffic, sit-down traffic, fine. But now, because I would do about an average of 27% before across the system, but yeah, then it hit 90%. It's like, you might as well shut down, right?
Sure.
So,
yeah. 90%. You just introduced at 30 points, which is the Uber standard, you just introduced a 20%, 27% new quote-unquote food cost to the whole model. There's no way that's higher than the margin for most restaurants. Mm-hmm. By far.
Yeah. So
I have a question for you guys in regards to Uber. How is it that they have been allowed to bleed restaurateurs, and how is it that they haven't had the moral fortitude to be able to say, hold it, we need to do our part too? You know, and I know that they've taken a ton of heat, but I don't understand why they've been allowed to continue to leech off of an industry that is dying right in front of us.
I think primarily on the first front, you guys get in on it. But my main one would be, honestly, I've been arguing this system from the beginning of time. I was able to work out some details that help my system with the delivery platforms like Uber and Skip, DoorDash. But the main thing is you'd get lost in it when it was, like I said, when it was 27% of my business. You know, it kind of blends in. They have their sales pitch. They have it's not going to increase your variable costs. Right. You're just picking away at your fixed and all this stuff. And you're like, whatever. So you just have another channel. But then that's what became bad on that. That's where they hit the masses now, is because when 90% of your business is there, then you see, no, it is a bleed. It's not a good program. That's why they're getting so much heat now. So wait, one thing out of this crazy shift in the market was that it's showing everybody that it just does not work and they have to bring it down. And when they start donating, you know, and all the power to them, they're making nice donations and donating $1 million here or kickback there to different food banks or whatever, but that's all great. But that shows you they're making a ton of money too. So
yeah, I mean, on paper they're losing a ton of money, which is the flip side. It helps justify all the craziness.
Yes, it's all.
We're still hoping that as they sign up more. I mean, COVID for them was a blessing. Their business took off, and as they redo their margins, hopefully they'll say, "Hey, you know what? We were operating at 30 points." But there's enough business now, and the competition is lowering their rates. So hopefully we'll see them start to lower their rates as the takeout becomes such a significant business. I mean, if that business has grown so dramatically and they're making 30 points on that, their costs, they still need the same amount of cars doing the deliveries, and they're able to service the market. So let's hope that they're going to be reasonable. Let's hope that the competition between those companies continues. We've seen some of those guys offer us deals in the past, and so hopefully it goes back to that and they don't take advantage of the situation.
Look, they've also got to pay for a $2.6 billion purchase of Postmates.
You saw that. Thank you. That was cheap.
They're going to make do. There's so many crazy things happening that, as much as Dean, you're 100% right. They're totally milking a dying industry. But there's so much crap going on these days that I think they're just, you know, make hay while the sun still shines. And
yeah,
there'll be a day of reckoning, but let's make sure we get our market share geared up before we get there.
Yeah, you know what? It absolutely sounds. Yeah, it sounds like that. And I was reading this morning, too, how Uber is now doing these test markets in Montreal and in Toronto where they're delivering groceries within a two-hour period. So they're now into grocery delivery. So it's almost like a hit and run, and then they go to a different tech and industry, and then they do a hit and run there. You know, it's the same thing. I don't take an Uber anywhere anymore because of their stupid surge charging. You'd be in the middle of the day, you go, I need to go downtown, and it was a $30 Uber ride now costs $140. So I had told them to fuck off a long time ago. Yeah, but I just... Sorry.
The worst thing is when they get you there and then they surge you on the way back. You're stuck. You got to pay it to get home.
Yeah. I mean, the benefit is obviously you don't get a DUI and embarrass your family and get a divorce. That's one part, you know, but it still is taking advantage of. And they know that, you know, I don't want to turn this into an Uber bashing session, but Uber has known Uber delivery, Uber Eats, Uber riders, all their tech. Their tech is there to eliminate the middleman and take the money from that middleman and exploit the people that are handing over the money. That's it. Their job is exploitation. That's all Uber is. Exploitation of great ideas, exploitation of the psychology of how we live, and they don't care. You know, and that's why it's been odd that the government hasn't stepped in here in Canada to say, hey, fuck, guys, relax. Everybody's in it. We've just doled out $100 billion, and you guys won't bring your percentages down to something reasonable so that businesses can actually propagate and our economy can keep moving and people can keep eating and supporting their families. That's the part that pisses me off.
I agreed.
I think it's on its way. Let's hope.
Well, it is now after that rant. That's going big time, by the way.
Good rant. Wow.
I did that for you guys, for the Beaver Tails. I only did it for the Beaver Tails.
Exactly. See, he's listened to me. He's listened to me for 3 months now. Ranting. Now, I finally got through to him.
But you know what?
The education. All you have. The customer, too, right?
Yeah.
The customer didn't know, like, until recently, in the last couple months. It was surprising how many did not know there was a commission. They just thought it was the cost of the delivery costs they paid on top of that. True. They did not know we were getting hit so hard with commission. So I think that helps, too, when the consumer realizes that as well. So they understand if it's a bit higher price or they make that extra effort instead. They may look it up, but then they'll do a pickup. They'll go to a takeout order instead. So it's a good platform for that. And I think we'll meet in the middle for sure. They mean well, and I mean, it's part of the biz. It ain't going away. If anything, it's just increased, you know, it may steady at 60% now for me, or a 50-50 split, but it's definitely going to be up from the 27. So I better learn how to do it, because that's the customers going through that channel. And they're my biggest customer. Uber and Skip the Dishes are my two biggest customers. So I got to take care of my customers somehow.
You guys should do a show from an Uber car.
Just avoid the surge pricing.
That's funny. Let's do it. Done.
Yeah.
And you pick up stuff from all these restaurants.
Do you know what we're doing? We're doing this virtual reality contest in a haunted house, and whoever gets scared first, whoever loses between Ryan and I, has to go into the virtual online dating room and try and pick up a virtual girl. So that's the challenge. Next, we're going to do one where we're going to try and put Uber out of business by sitting in the back of an Uber. Just every 3 seconds going, surge price yet? Surge price yet? How much now? Are we there yet? Surge price yet? But they do have mints and sometimes water in the Ubers, right? Like, it's not all that bad.
You're right.
And I take all the mints too.
put on the Beaver Tails.
Yeah, I would just put them on the Beaver Tails for sure. You would. Hey guys, you talked briefly, and you know, and I know we got a roll here, and we don't have a lot of time, but you talked briefly about you know, the people that you work with and the people that you employ. Personally speaking, and you guys haven't, you didn't found Beaver Tails. You guys started working there at a young age and then bought Beaver Tails from the founder. Is that not correct?
Correct. Yeah, started off as a college job many, many moons ago.
Making Beaver Tails.
Bigger. They became bigger than the owner. That's how tough these guys are.
The Ottawa, it was so iconic in Ottawa, the Byword and just on the canal. But Montreal had a few more opportunities to do different kinds of stores, and we grew it maybe a little bit differently, a little bit bigger. And then eventually the founder asked us to step in and manage it for him, which we were thrilled to do. And in the end, it became a management buyout. He's still a minority partner with us, and he's in semi-retirement now and still runs the Ottawa operations with his right-hand man, Andy, who's the guy who hired us years and years ago. So he's still around there, and we love the Ottawa guys. It's just its own unique, iconic market within our already unique, iconic product.
So when did you started working there at a university, and you guys are, what, in your early 40s now? Is that correct?
Yeah,
you're too kind. 30s? We just turned 51 a couple of days ago. So.
Okay, so yeah, so you're closing in on 50.
That's right.
And so how long, you guys started working, you've been there for like, Jesus, 30 years.
Yes, sir. Yeah, a bit more than that. Yeah. 32.
What a great story. So you started out there as like summertime employees in university, and you ended up working there and loving, you know, the concept and the idea so much, and then you took it over, bought it, and turned it into a huge franchise across Canada.
Yes, sir. I mean, humbly speaking, they already had a couple of stores across the country already.
Did they have 160?
No.
There you go.
It was more a product than a brand at that time. So, but you know, 42 years of longevity in a brand, and it's your canvas for us to paint, if I want to be humble about it. But it's been a great run. Yeah, no, and it's great starting at the bottom. And we can talk to our franchisees and share all the stories that they lived through, and we've been there and then some.
Has it made it easier for you to go through this, knowing the work that you'd put into it, and talk to people that don't want to come back to work?
I would almost say, and Tony, I don't know, correct me, but I think that most the easiest part of this is that we really have a devoted, engaged group of franchisees out there. Thank God for all of them. And I don't know that many of them don't want to work to begin with. I think they put their shoulder to it, and it's made this easier. But again, thankfully, it's not like we're on the phone holding these poor guys' hands if they own a $750,000 brick and mortar installation with 100 tables in it. Mm-hmm. So it's been an easier conversation with a particularly devoted bunch. And again, humbly, when we look at what some of the other guys are going through in our industry, my heart really does go out to them. And
Ryan, I think you'll be the first to agree with this. Being in the QSR and the quick service industry, our rents are a fraction of what the other guys have. Our overhead is a lot more manageable. So for the most part, our operators understand what we're going through as a head office. We understand. We've been on the other side. We know what they're going through. And we're just trying to find, okay, what's the best way for us to get through this with the least scarring as possible? And so far, we've had nothing but great conversations. Everyone's been optimistic, which is, at the beginning, that was one of our concerns. How's everybody, you know, there's a whole mental health issue, and how are they going to react to this? But everybody's been doing a stand-up job. And we're not just saying that because we're on your podcast. It's the truth. And we're blessed with a bunch of great operators. And we hope that part continues for sure.
Mm. Yeah, same. 100%. And we've talked about that before. Just got some major players stepping up the plate. We actually had the Smokes Poutinerie, St. Catharines. She was on board the gravy train here with the podcast. And she was great to have on board. Like, she is the essence of our brand. And she is a driving leader with our franchisees, too. So same. The ones that are just going, you know, the 6 days a week. And we've reduced hours. We're just going noon to eight. But they're in there. And they're doing it themselves. They're in the trenches. Like, you know, that's the true reality check on strength and who will survive and who's going to, you know, fade away. And that not just with our businesses, I'm talking just the whole industry in general come the fall, but it's nice to have you guys on here because we're so similar mm-hmm. in structure and so similar in looking ahead and so similar in how we've handled this. And you know what, Dean, there could be some talks of two Canadian classics merging together here. You never know. It could be a $2.6 billion merger.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Just so you guys know, I have the marketing slash blog company for you, so we'll turn that into a $4.8 billion takeover.
All stock, all shares, all paper.
No, it's all cash. It's
you
all
in, guys.
Cash.
You in, guys? $2.6 billion on paper.
I'm listening to podcasts and moving vehicles. We're on.
Well, listen, I as always really appreciated meeting you guys. All of our guests, I always do. Pino and Anthony DeYoya, owners of Beaver Tails franchises, and Muzu. I don't know what Muzu is, but I was looking at it online. Can you explain Muzu juice before we go, please?
It's our ice cream, and it's the cold part of Beaver Tails. So you get one with the other. Mm-hmm. But we had it, and it was separate once upon a time, and it's all the same company. And you can have some nice, cool ice cream on top of your nice, hot, piping Beaver Tail.
Oh, okay. And just to clear it up, because a lot of Americans will listen to this podcast, we're not talking about the tails of actual beavers. These are pastry treats.
We still do trade shows in the United States and elsewhere, and people say, would you like to try beaver? No, I'm vegetarian, so I'll pass. So you guys laugh as much as you like, but it's happening out there.
And the crazy jokes about Canadians, like, oh, you guys eat some strange stuff up there. Yeah. It's the joke that never dies.
Yeah, and if you Google it, you'll actually find recipes for a real beaver's tail that's roast cooked over fire.
No.
So it exists. It exists.
No, yeah, that's but I'm glad that my joke was actually not a joke. It was reality. Like, hey, explain to the Americans it's not a real beaver's tail, and you're like, oh, that happens.
They just have to direct those same peeps. I mean, yeah. Go to beavertails.com. You'll honestly,
yeah,
the real thing, and you'll start licking the screen. Like,
yeah. What do you tell them?
Hey, so good.
Hey, just a
so
quick,
good.
Quick question, Pino Anthony. What do you tell Americans the poo tail is?
Believe it or not, you guys know it. Ryan, you know it. Americans now know what poutine is. So
yeah, because of Ryan.
They're getting it. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're going to know what beaver tails are because of you guys, too. Canada educates the world. We've got Pino and Anthony DeYoya, owners of Beaver Tails franchise, and of course Ryan Smolkin, my co-host here for the hashtag Support Local podcast, owner, franchiser, and all-around dreamer. Smokes Poutinery. Go to smokespoutinery.com for more information. Go to beavertails.com for more information. And if you're looking for a fresh start in life, I imagine both of these sets of individuals have franchises for you, so you can be your own boss. There might not be anything better. Also, nothing is scary, I've found out in the last 2 years, but there's nothing better than working for yourself. Guys, appreciate you doing this. Best of luck to Beaver Tails. Ryan, thanks for setting this up. We appreciate it.
Thank
you,
brother.
Stay safe.
All right, boys. Stay safe as well.
For our brothers in the industry and sisters.
All right, man. Well, I'll make sure that gets out. You be good. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
All right,
well, take care. The guys from Beaver Tails, the guys from Smokes Poutinery, talking about hashtag support local podcasting. Trying to do our best and making sure that you know that these places are still open. Not just open, but they're trying to change like everybody else. Fucking weird time for people, specifically people that have put all their money and effort into being an entrepreneur and being their own business person. So don't take for granted these podcasts. That's why we do them. Or do take them for granted and don't listen. Someone's listening to it, like a lot of people. So whatever. Thanks to Smokes Poutinery for the opportunity. Don't forget to go to smokespoutinery.com. There is one near you. It is Canada's national dish, and it is now the most ordered quarantine food. Smokespoutinery.com has dozens of different kinds of poutine. You can put whatever you want on it, too. Go rogue. That's what we do. Smokespoutinery.com. Thanks to our friends at Socialite Vodka. Socialite Vodka, winners of the Seltzer Kings Tournament of Champions at DeanBlundell.com, the number one seltzer in the world. Number one, Socialite. Good Toronto boys and girls, too. I like that. Nice local product. Right now, they have their winning seltzer, the winning seltzer from the Tournament of Champions. It's called Socialite Bold. Alcohol by volume, 6%. Bigger can, more fun. Go to DeanBlundell.com for more information on Socialite's beautiful line of hard seltzers and vodka sodas. RTDs, ready to drink. That's what they are. Thanks to our friend at Ed's Fine Imports. Ed's Fine Imports, right now when you use the promo code GITCH3, you get three pairs of GITCH plus a free one. You get four for the price of one. Buy three, get one free. That's what I've been trying to say. Promo code GITCH, then the number 3, edsfineimports.com. Wearable, stretchable, pouch in the front. Absolutely the best underwear you'll ever buy, and I know after quarantine you're probably down to a few, so make sure you get them from Ed's Fine Imports. Gitch 3, buy 3, get 1 free right now at edsfineimports.com. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Have a great day, everybody. Don't forget to sign up for our newsletter at deanblundell.com. Stay safe. Bye.